Scripture readings this morning, first one, I guess it's the only one, is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Perseverance in prayer. And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Herein ends the reading this morning.
The last couple of weeks, we've been in the middle of Luke's gospel. And this section that we've been reading, including today, is teaching the disciples, and that means us as well, about what it means to follow Jesus. After all, that's what disciples do. They follow. They model themselves on their teacher. The disciples were, in this instance, in this story, were asking Jesus to teach them to pray. Just as apparently John the Baptist had taught his disciples. Scholars tell us that at this time that groups would have been identified by their particular prayer. It had been distinctive in various sects and groups. And so the disciples were asking Jesus to teach us to pray. Now, they were already people of faith. So it's not like they didn't know how to pray or hadn't been taught other prayers. They were raised most likely in settings where prayer was present. They'd worshiped in synagogues. But here they were asking Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Has there ever been a time when you were fairly certain that you knew how to do something and to do it pretty well, and then all of a sudden you saw someone else do it so much better, and you said, "I want to learn to do it that way." Well, I think that's what was happening with the disciples. Throughout the ages, people have gone to spiritual teachers and spiritual gurus to learn how to practice a faith. And I think the disciples had seen in Jesus, they'd seen him at prayer. Luke is full of examples when Jesus is in prayer, either alone or with others. And they saw in Jesus that experienced in him the power of prayer. They wanted the same peace, the same strength, the same wisdom as their teacher. And so Jesus responds with this short prayer. The short prayer that has indeed become the prayer that marks and identifies us. The prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer of our Savior, or in the Roman Catholic tradition, just the Our Father. But it's the prayer that marks us. We all come to the church from different places, to this community of faith from different experiences. It's been fun in these several luncheons and dinners that we've had with members of the congregation to listen to the faith journey of you who have been there. Come from Methodist and Presbyterian and Lutheran and Episcopal and Baptist and Christian Reform and Roman Catholic backgrounds. And there's possibly some in our church that come from other faith traditions, and possibly some who've come from no faith background but have found this church. Yet whatever the faith journey, whatever the experience, the one thing that we tend to have in common is this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's the one thing that most of us can say by memory. I've had experience with people with serious dementia or with brain injury that were very difficult for them, if not almost impossible, to communicate. But when we began the Lord's Prayer, they would be able to respond, sometimes very slowly, but they were able to respond. Now, it's the one prayer, as I said, that most of us know by heart. And I don't know how many times I have prayed that prayer. But in one church that I served, our pattern was pastoral prayer, silent prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And that Sunday morning, we had a long silent prayer because I couldn't remember how the Lord's Prayer began. And finally, I just burst out, "Our Father," when it came to me. I don't know how long the silence was, but that can happen to us. Jesus models prayer as an intimate conversation with God. As I said, there are many references of Jesus at prayer in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of Luke. And we sense that he listened to God as much as he talked, that he was in communication. So in the story, after he teaches his disciples this short prayer, he tells them, and again remember, he tells us as well as disciples, that we should talk to God as a loving parent, as a parent who listens to us, who cares for us, who provides for us, who protects us. Not high theology here, not some obscure theology. No, he's bringing home the reality of God to us in language that we can understand. He gives us the words to say and the attitude in which to say it. And then he tells the story and gives a little exhortation to persuade us that if we who are limited, he calls evil, can do good things and provide good things, how much more can our God, who is loving, more generous, more gracious, provide good things to us and will pour upon us the Holy Spirit. Now, this prayer of Jesus is not just a comforting private prayer to get us through challenges and personal crises, but it is a prayer of the community. It's our Father, not my Father. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer of the community. And as we pray that prayer, it helps to shape and transform the community. Give us this day our daily bread, not just for me, but for all people, for all of us. And this prayer tells us that we can trust our God Now that's something that I think many of us, including myself, find it difficult to do. It's easier to talk about trusting God than doing it. I'm more likely to depend upon my own knowledge, my own learnings, my own perceived capabilities. We want to find our own security rather than to place our trust in our God. But Jesus teaches us that spending time with God in prayer, in regular, intimate conversation, and opening ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives will lead us on the way of compassion and transformation, not just as individuals, but as a community as well. That's why we pray this prayer together, week after week. Not just because we know it, and maybe the pastor can start it, but because it helps to form and transform us as a community of faith into a community of compassion and justice that makes sure that all of God's children have their daily bread and what that means in today's world. The prayer calls us to be about building God's kingdom, not just in heaven, but on earth, that the reign of God may come here and now, a reign of justice and healing and mercy and love. We pray for that every time we offer that prayer. And that helps to transform and form our community and what we engage in as disciples. The church is not something abstract, but rather it's a community of people with a need to be together, to find companionship on the journey, on the pilgrimage of faith that we're all engaged in. And that's what's been so interesting to hear as I've heard the stories of members around the tables, and how the church and how this church has become such an important place of acceptance and of transformation. Helping to bring God's kingdom of peace and justice, healing and love to the earth now. May this prayer that is so familiar to us truly form us as a compassionate community and help us both as individuals and as a community to place our trust in God. Amen.